kautta mi hale haleja, ui kui hule haleja, ui kui.
Welcome to the California Indian Radio Project. This program is California Indian Basket Weavers, Weaving the Future. For thousands of years, communities of Native people have lived throughout what is now the state of California. In each of those communities, baskets have been a vital part of daily life. Basket weavers, most of whom were women, were honored by their communities. They carried with them an extensive knowledge of designs, weaving techniques, and the cultivation and maintenance of the plants needed to practice their craft. In this program, producers Susan Newstead and Francis Slack Rayside will introduce you to some of today's California Indian basket weavers.
It is an old tradition, you know, thousands of years old, and it's being done the same way with the same materials now, with the same frame of mind.
As far back as I can remember, the baskets was always there when there's a newborn Indian baby.
I started when I was about 4 years old. My grandmother started teaching me in our backyard under the walnut tree. And I've been making baskets ever since.
There was a time, not long ago, in what is now called California, when basket making was central to all Native cultures. Baby baskets welcomed a person into this world, funereal baskets ushered her out, and other baskets essential to daily life graced most moments in between. Cooking, sifting, trapping, seeding, healing, dancing, gambling, planting, storage, washing, and eating all required some kind of hand-woven basket. A talented basket weaver earned the respect of her community. Men vied for her hand in marriage. Much of that changed when the Europeans came. Baskets and skills were lost in the devastation of diseases, violence, and political changes brought by the colonists, beginning with the Spanish in the late 18th century. Today, fewer than 200 traditional indigenous California basket weavers are left, most of them in rural areas. As before, these women are in demand, now as mentors to a new generation of indigenous women seeking the wisdom of their roots. They are turning to people like Georgiana Myers Trull, who is Yurok and Karuk.
My mother and my great-grandmother were all basket makers. And I learned from them when I was about 6 or 7 years old. I remember everybody sitting around making baskets, all the women. Because it seemed like that's all my mother and my grandmother had done. While they got their smokehouse going, they're sitting down making a basket. My mother, even when she was washing clothes across the river, she'd have her clothes boiled in those great big containers, and then she would sit down and make baskets between time. But times were hard when I was growing up, and seemed like that's how they made ends meet, is selling their baskets.
You have to have a good frame of mind. You have to be spiritually strong. You have to know a lot about your culture. You've got to know a lot about plants. You have to know the territory where you came from.
Kathy Wallace is Yurok, Karuk, and a member of the Hoopa tribe. She is active in the California Indian Basket Weavers Association, CIBA, an organization that helps bring weavers together to teach, learn, protect, and perpetuate their tradition.
I've seen a big change in the basket weavers. I see more people being interested in it. Now we're seeing areas where there weren't any basket weavers. Suddenly a basket weaver springs up, and having to research and get other people to help them, but they're starting again, and they have this need to make baskets.
The world has become even more complex. And while there is a renewed interest in basket weaving, many weavers are adults before they can take the time to learn. Yvonne Poppy Bones is Yurok, Karuk, and Eel River. We talked at her favorite beach near Arcata.
I'm a single mom. I work full-time. I have the two kids, and I have a basket class now and the gathering. And sometimes it's so hard to fit it all in this crazy world, but it's all important in its own way. And I've shut down on some other things for the basket class because I feel it's more important. And during the first year, you're learning how to gather everything, when to gather it, and that's the most important part right there, is just learning when and how. And once you've got that done, you can do it yourself. It's complicated my life, but it's really rewarding because the girls are learning right along with me. And they're 8 and 10.
Yurok and Karuk weavers account for almost a quarter of current traditional weavers. They, along with the other California weavers, want to encourage their children to carry on the tradition. Stacy Stevens is Yurok.
When I first started getting interested in doing baskets when I was in either third or fourth grade, when they had an after-school project at the elementary in Hoopa, there's not very many people left that weave, and it needs to be carried on so people know that the weaving is still part of the tradition and it needs to be done by younger generations.
California's indigenous weavers make a wide variety of baskets with different weaving styles and materials according to region. Margaret Beatty is Western Mono.
I make the baby baskets, or they call it baby cradles, and they are made with sour berry sticks, red bud, sedge root, chaparral, and we have different designs on the boys' baskets and the girls' baskets. I have counted the sticks and about 500 sticks to make the baby baskets. My grandmother made them, and probably her grandmothers and way back made them. And when the baby is born, it's put in that type of basket, and they pull the baby through the top to show that it has entered a new world.
Traditionally, one would have used baskets many times a day. Today's Native people still use baskets for practical and ceremonial purposes. Julie Tex, Western Mono, describes one of her very functional baskets at a Seba gathering.
The seed beater basket is made out of sour berry sticks and white root or sedge, and it's bound by chaparral and redbud. You can tell it's a seed beater basket because it has a handle on it. All right, and a seed beater basket would be held underneath the berries or the bush. And a stick would be used on the branch to knock the berries into the basket so that you don't actually have to pick them with your fingers. And this is very important when you're out picking gooseberries with thorns. You take a nice flat rock and roll that rock over your berries, breaking off those thorns. And then your basket has holes in it, and you would just winnow all those broken thorns off your berries into the wind or underneath, and then you'd have clean berries all in the same basket.
Many Native people in California used burden baskets, in which women carried loads on their backs supported by a strap that fit across the forehead. Woven work caps protected the head from the strap. Other basket caps are worn for ceremonies that still continue today. The designs in the caps are often exquisite. Georgiana Trull describes two of these caps.
Well, this basket is what you wear when you dance a brush dance. The black in it is maidenhair fern, and the white is a bear grass, and the brown, the little brown that's in it is willow roots. Mm-hmm. It's seem like they call it lay your legs at. That's for like a snake design. Seem like that's what that is. But see, they both have it. Oh, this is the work cap, but kind of fancy for work.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. The work cap is usually just plain. Don't have this much design on it. It's usually just little design.
The basket design may be determined by tradition or developed personally, perhaps even through a dream. Rathima Billy Barber is Yurok.
And one night I woke up, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I dreamt how to make keychain. And then I got up and I could see it, and I drew it as close as I could to what. And it just came so easy.
Donna Largo is Kawia, a people whose ancestral territory stretched from the San Bernardino Mountains east into the Colorado Desert and south to the Anza Borrego Desert.
I'll dream, and this design will come to me, and I know it. It's there, and I'm doing it in my dream, so when I wake up, I know exactly what to do with the basket. I tell my students, the basket tells you what it wants to be. You don't tell it what it wants to be. And the baskets usually do, you know, talk to you. And they come to me in my dreams and my designs. And I've tried to copy patterns off of the old baskets, but it just doesn't work.
To master basket weaving requires the development not only of outward skills, but of inner strengths. Ali Foside is Yurok.
But we had to peel all that one by one, all those sticks that we use on the basket, we peeled, and then we scraped all those roots one by one, and it took a lot of time to. In fact, I talked to a lady yesterday. She sat there cleaning this spruce branch, and she said, "I've been sitting here for 2.5 hours scraping on that one branch." You have to have patience.
Many weavers sing special songs when they gather or weave. Artist Linda Yamane. Weaving baskets means being intimately aware of the natural world. A weaver must know when, where, and how to cultivate and gather basketry materials, and then how to prepare them. Margaret Beatty.
We have to go out in the mountains or hills, wherever they grow together our material. And they have to go to the rivers to dig for the sedge root because it grows along the rivers banks. And so then it's harder to get that kind of material now because people are moving up in the mountains and a lot of it is no trespassing signs on where they live and where the Indians used to get their sedge root.
Vivian Hailstone is Karuk, Yurok, and a member of the Hupa tribe.
I'm in awe when I look at a finished piece and think you can go into the woods, into the wild, and come out with this piece of art. To me, it's a real piece of art. And I often think about how did they develop this, like the wood warrior fern. You mash it out, it has two little centers, and when it's dry, it's so brittle. When you put it in the water, it gets strong, and you can weave with it. Somebody had to try this out at some time, so there must have been artists and thinkers from way back.
Eleanor Logan is Yurok.
Right now is a time for maidenhair fern. When you pick them, you look for, see if they're black, you know. Some of them are kind of reddish color, but you don't pick those, you know, just pick the black ones. Then the old Indians used to pound it, you know, pound it. Get rock or something and pound it and mash it up, then they take the two cores out of there. But I got smart and I went to an antique store and I got one of those, but the old-fashioned washing machine wringer. In a little while, you got it all mashed up.
Until recently, non-Native scholars believed California was wild and uncultivated until the European settlers arrived. Now we're learning that the California landscape was extensively and sensitively cultivated for thousands of years, in part because of the requirements of basket weavers. Kathy Wallace talks about some of the plants that are cultivated.
The two that stand out the most in my mind for my tribe are the bear grass, which have to be burned the year before. And then hazel's the same thing. It's burned the year before. Or if you want the big hazel shoots, it needs to be burned 2 years before, like if you want to make the big burden baskets or baby baskets. So it would be have to have been burned 2 years before. And you kind of prune back, we'll say like spruce root. You're kind of pruning the roots a little bit. You never over use an area, but it helps the plant.
There are all kinds of intimate cultural rules and taboos about when, where, how to harvest that add up to plant conservation.
While working on her doctorate in forestry, Kat Anderson researched the ways that Native people in California have tended the plant life in areas where they live.
In harvesting the willow and the redbud and the sourberry in the lower Sierra foothills for basketry material, Native people harvest the material in the fall or winter or early spring during the dormant period of the plant. And that's the time of year when the power of the plant is in its roots. They talk about the power of the plant being in its roots. This is the time of year that is least detrimental to the plant's vital processes. So Native elders who are gathering basketry material would not think to gather in the heart of the summer when the plant is photosynthesizing and has all of its leaves.
Margaret Beatty.
I go in the fall. That's when we gather the material for the baby basket. There's no leaves on the sticks, and it's smooth. And, of course, we have to take the skin off of the sticks and make them white.
As Kat Anderson explains, if not cared for, the plants may disappear.
Deer grass is a really important bunch grass used in coiled basketry among 18 or 19 tribes in California. You find it along perennial streams, you find it in mountain meadows, and used to be a major associate in the perennial bunch grass land. It's getting harder and harder to find. One of the reasons that Native Americans say it's so difficult to find is because it hasn't been tended, it hasn't been taken care of, it hasn't been burned. And they go a step further and say that the plant likes to be picked, it likes to be used, that by using plants, you're helping to honor those plants and making those plants feel important. There's the whole notion of kindly use, that you use plants and animals in ways that you can coexist, that they return. If you harvest incorrectly, the plant may not come back next year.
Gathering and preparing materials is time-consuming, but weavers also speak of the pleasures of feeling close to the earth, of deepening their spiritual connection, and of sharing with others. Eleanor Logan.
Just when you're out there, you feel good and you want to pray, you want to sing. You know, I belong to the Indian Shaker Church, so we have songs that we sing, you know, and I could just holler at the top of my lungs. Nobody hear it but God, you know, so I sing and I pray. It's real good when you're out in the mountains.
But safe places to gather have become harder to find. No trespassing signs go up, and former sites are bulldozed for development. On public lands, weavers may not be allowed to carry out management practices on the plants. The widespread use of herbicides and pesticides have even made some areas deadly to basket weavers, who pass much of their materials through their mouths.
In the forest, they use pesticides to control the broadleaf plants and a lot of the other plants that compete with the lumber trees. We gather in those forests, and when they spray with pesticides, some of those remain on the plants. And if they sprayed the day before, you have no idea that it was sprayed until things start to die. And we have a lot of people in our area who are contracting cancer. And there are a lot of miscarriages and birth defects in those areas along the rivers there. People are having skin problems when they go out gathering, or their eyes burning, and immediate reactions to some of it. And people also have the problems of cultivating in areas, cultivating their plants to a point where they're going to be good for basket weaving, and to go back and find them all completely dead because of pesticides being used to get rid of them.
Susan Burdick is Yurok from the Klamath River area in Northern California, where there have been many illnesses and deaths.
Again, this year we had another person in our area pass. It's really frustrating to keep, working on this and to keep seeing, our people go. These are our elders. These are our people that we care so much for. These are the people we need to protect. It's really hard for me to talk, but when you see your people going, one by one, it makes you strong inside, because at least you're trying to do something.
To address these issues, weavers formed the California Indian Basket Weavers Association in 1992. Kathy Wallace.
We represent all of the basket weavers of California, not just one person. And politically, that's the only way that you can make an impact anymore.
As a group, the basket weavers have begun working with the Forest Service. At the 1993 California Indian Conference, Kathy Wallace spoke about their efforts.
At the first basket weavers gathering in 1991, a lot of grievances that basket weavers listed had to do with their relations with the U.S. Forest Service. Our Basket Weavers Council met with the management team at the U.S. Forest Service Regional Headquarters in San Francisco in January of 1992. This was a real big breakthrough for us. Up to this point, we've been dealing at the very bottom level of management and not getting anywhere. 2 years later, at our Tuolumne gathering, many people had positive things to report about working with the Forest Service.
John Larson is district ranger on the Lower Trinity and Orleans Ranger Districts, which cover about 460,000 acres of the Six Rivers National Forest. They have stopped spraying herbicides and are actively working in his district towards management techniques that follow traditional native practices.
I think there was a lack of understanding the importance to the Native American gatherers and weavers and the importance of these materials to the maintenance of their culture. Here on the Six Rivers, for example, basically all of the lands that we manage are ancestral lands to a number of tribes here in this area. This is their land. It's not reservation land, but it's their land from an ancestral perspective, and we many years ago, didn't necessarily have that understanding or perspective. I think today we've come to gain a better understanding of those needs, and there's been some very healthy relationships established, starting here at a district level, moving on to forest and regional levels, and even on to our Washington office level.
Talks between CEBA and the California Department of Pesticides have brought agreement to test certain materials for residues. CEBA hopes to convince department staff to make regulatory changes that would prevent herbicides and pesticides from being used in areas where native people gather food, medicine, and basketry materials. In addition to their vital work to gain native weavers safe access to basketry materials, CEBA encourages basket weavers to continue their traditions. Their annual Basket Weavers Gathering gives weavers from all over California and neighboring areas a chance to share ideas, teaching methods, and friendships. Norma Turner.
It inspires a person to. I see a design over there. I think, gee whiz, maybe I'll go home and do that. So it's good, and it's good to see so many ladies and so many young people that want to learn to make baskets.
The weavers are delighted that young people are learning and perfecting the skills needed to carry on their cultural practices. Jennifer Bates.
For a long time, I myself was the youngest basket weaver that I could think of that was of Northern Miwok descent. Today, my sister weaves baskets, and she started doing that when she went to the second gathering that we had up at Yaka Ama. And then my niece is now learning how to weave baskets, and this weekend she started a one stick.
Stacy Stevens.
It needs to be carried on. The weaving is still part of the tradition, and it needs to be done by younger generations.
Yvonne Poppy Bones.
The girls are learning right along with me. They're 8 and 10, and they're learning to gather. They've gathered the bear grass, they've gathered the black fern, they've gathered the willow root. They've gone out and just, they've done all these things. They go out in the mountains, they go out in the ocean, they go, you know, wherever I go, they go too.
Working with young people strengthens the basket weaver's resolve to secure safe access to materials for future generations. Kathy Wallace.
It's so important, and it's something that we have to do something about it now. If we wait, it's going to be too late. We don't want this legacy of pesticides to be passed down to our kids. We just want to be able to pass down basket weaving to our kids.
California Indian Basket Weavers, weaving the future. This program was written and produced by Susan Newstead and Francis Slack Rayside. Executive producer, Peggy Berryhill. Project director, Roby Cook. Production assistants, Joseph Orozco. Engineering assistants, Mel Baker. Digital editing and mixing, Neil Harvey. Thanks to Linda Yamane, Ollie Foside, Eileen Figueroa, and Carly and Aaron Tex for the use of their basket weaving songs. The music of Kol Jadimo appears in the opening theme. This program is a project of Northern California Cultural Communications, with funds provided by the California Council for the Humanities, a state affiliate of the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Lannan Foundation, the Left Foundation, the Vanguard Public Foundation, the Seventh Generation Fund, the Fund for Folk Culture in partnership with the James Irvine Foundation, and the Robeson Fund. Special thanks to the California Indian Basket Weavers Association, Susan Burdick, and all the basket weavers interviewed for this program. For the California Indian Radio Project, I'm Neil Harvey.
To order a cassette tape of this program or a resource guide with more information about the people and topics we've covered, call 1-800-461-3991. That's 1-800-461-3991. Or visit our website at flickerfeather.org.
This program is distributed by the American Indian Radio on Satellite, a service of Native American Public Telecommunications. On